There were five of them, three males, two females, and they were young and angry. They wanted to hurt, to destroy. There was at least one phone filming, a bright light too painful to look right at, but illuminating snippets of what was happening next to him. Jacob was glad at least that they were binding his daughter Beatrice and wife Nina to chairs and not to the bed. Someone hacked Nina's ponytail off with a pair of scissors. A taser zapped threateningly in Beatty's face. Jacob looked at the girl with a gun on him, and his thoughts focused on what he'd do to these people if he survived. But the duct tape across his mouth prevented him from speaking. "I could kill you," the girl said, as though she could read his thoughts. She seemed to really be weighing it up, tapping on the trigger so he could feel the vibration through the metal, through his electrified skin. An eighth of an inch from death. "But I'm a nice girl, so I'll teach you a lesson instead." The others heard what she said and came for him. They pushed Jacob's chair over, and he lay strapped to it in his boxer shorts, trying to fold himself in two to defend against the blows. The girl took a golf club from the bag in the hall and came back, showed it to him, before she raised it over her shoulder with professional ease and smashed it into his ribs. He tried to focus on something, another cold, emotionless thought to get him through. He saw a single curl of blonde hair poking out from beneath her hood. He squeezed his eyes shut and thought about that curl, that golden spiral, as they kicked him half to death. Beyond the huge glass windows, the ocean off Palos Verdes was calm and gray and flat, sparkling with moonlight. The girl with the curl grabbed a hank of his hair and lifted his head. "You learned any manners yet?" she asked. "Hey, Ash, look," someone said. "Ash," Jacob thought. "Oh, man," a boy's voice. "She's not breathing right." "Chill, she's faking it." Through the pounding in his head, Jacob strained to listen, and in the hot bedroom air, he could pick out Beatty's wheezes and coughs and groans. She hadn't had an asthma attack since she was 4 years old, 6 years since he'd heard that hellish noise. They didn't even keep an inhaler in the house anymore. The girl leader stepped on Jacob's face. He felt the rubber grip of her boot tug down the corner of his eye. "If she dies, it's on you." Then they were gone, the sound of their running footsteps echoing off the high ceilings. In the darkness of the car, Nina spoke for the first time, sitting in the back seat with their daughter in her lap. Jacob could hardly hear his wife's voice over Beatty's distraught, struggling breaths. The garage door seemed to take a year to slide up and let them free. There was still tape hanging from his left wrist as he gripped the wheel and floored it for the nearest hospital.
"Who the hell were they?"
Nina cried. "I don't know," he said honestly.
Chapter 1. "Your Honor," I said, "my client is an artist." The courtroom had been rippling gently with the sounds of conversations between the clients waiting in the stalls and their defenders, and of family members moving in and out of the wide double doors. At my words, the room fell silent. Judge McCavin rested his chin on his palm, a single bushy eyebrow raised. "Get on with it, Rhonda," the judge said, as I soaked in the dramatic silence I'd created. Everyone was looking at me. For once, a spectacle based on my words rather than my appearance. As big as I am, 260 pounds, some of it well-earned muscle and some of it long-maintained fat, there's no point trying to fit in with the crowd. The pink hair was just the latest shade in a rotating kaleidoscope of colors I applied to my half-shaved, wavy quiff.